time's flying along here. We come into the happy hour. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris, Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., wrapping things up with us there in Seattle and starting to bear down for tonight's broadcast with Jesse. Padres and the Mariners going at it. Our happy hour tonight brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball season is in full swing. So is swim season. Call GL Pools. Mention radio. That'll get you a free month of pool service. Venus Williams, not really looking that overmatched. She's 45 years old, playing in the U.S. Open right now against the 11th-rated player in the world, Carolina Muchová of Czech Republic. Muchová's got a set point here to win 6-3, but Venus has made her work for this. Like, it hasn't been a, you know, piece of cake.
No, not at all.
She's 45 years old. Well done, Venus.
If you're Muchová, you're like, I can't lose to a 45-year-old.
I know. Muchová's like, I mean, it's one thing if you were, you know, kind of just another player on the tour, but Muchová's number 11 in the whole thing. Anyway, Muchová did win the first set 6-3 over Venus Williams there. Padres and the Mariners. J.P. Sears is throwing this out there. So if he doesn't pitch well tonight, don't get mad at me. He's lost his last six starts to the Mariners.
Can we talk about that real quick?
0-2 this year.
Do you really buy into that?
I don't.
Because the whole argument was, okay, Jeremiah Estrada doesn't pitch well against the Dodgers, but, like, does that really... I don't know that Jeremiah Estrada is sitting in the pen going, oh, my gosh, it's the Dodgers.
He might. I mean, there's certain ballparks you pitch better in than others, and you might say to yourself, man, I never seem to pitch well here in St. Louis. Like, you can't figure it out.
Okay.
You go out there the next time, and you're like, all right, it's St. Louis, but I'm going to just be me. And,
yeah.
And then you get bombed again, and you're like walking off going, what happened again?
I mean, he faced the Mariners so much because he was playing for the
right,
A's.
Right, Sears did all this with the A's. As far as Jeremiah is concerned, yeah, he's making some bad pitches against the Dodgers. But so's the whole, you know, the whole Padre bullpen had a 4.96 ERA this year against the Dodgers.
Mm.
The rest of the major leagues, 2.74. That's not all on Jeremiah Estrada.
No.
So it's just one of them things.
It is one of those
but
things.
But I know what you mean. But, you know, Kershaw was 0-2 the last 2 years against the Padres, had an ERA of like 8. So was
not
he just not
year.
Supposed to pitch? You know what I mean? I don't totally believe it. And Mike Schilt said he doesn't. Mike Schilt doesn't shy away. He said, we're not going to shy away from, you know, situations.
Well, you can't.
We believe our guys can get the job done.
I don't think you can shy away.
Yeah.
If you're an actual major league manager, be like, what was your reason as to why you didn't use Estrada? Oh,
day.
He doesn't pitch well against the Dodgers. I don't think that answer would be ripped apart.
Not as much as the decision to use him was ripped apart yesterday. J.P. Sears will start tonight. It'll be Bryce Miller for the M's, as it were. A couple of games in progress with playoff-type, you know, implications. NL East, Phillies, Mets. 3-0 Phillies right now, the top of the fourth. Trey Turner starts Schwarbaum with a sac fly. Boston leads Baltimore 4-3 in the sixth. Roman Anthony and Jaron Duran have homered for the Bo Sox. Yankees 2-0 over Washington.
Washington.
Home run, Ben Rice for the Pinstripes.
Oh my gosh, I just put something together.
What's that?
The name Ben Rice. Isn't there a Rice called Uncle Ben's?
Uncle Ben's. Yeah, this isn't his, though, but yeah.
I get what you're saying, but man.
I don't think he does that in his spare time.
Okay. Yeah. You don't think he peddles rice on the
side?
No, I
don't think he's peddling rice in his spare time.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, anything is possible.
It is true.
You know, I wouldn't put it past him.
I mean, Buddy Kennedy was DFA'd today, so anything's possible.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
The Dodgers.
Kike Hernandez was reactivated.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. I mean, we've been saying, look, the Dodgers, you know, ended up getting 9 out of 13 games over the Padres, right? And a lot of it from this side, well, you know, Jackson Merrill's hurt, and
earlier Yu Darvish was hurt. Now Michael King's missed the, you know, hasn't pitched, and all that's true. But so is the fact that the Dodgers have been very much less than 100% as well. I don't think you're going to see Buddy Kennedy in the postseason.
No?
Probably going to see somebody better than that. Anyway, we'll see. A couple of quick other notes. Football. We're getting close to opening day. Next Thursday is the opener in the National Football League.
It is getting crazy.
As I expected would happen, the Bengals and Trey Hendrickson agreed to the big payday. $14 million raise for Hendrickson. $30 million salary now for him. He was the top defensive player in the league pretty much last year. Of course, the Bengals, as they always do, were trying to, lowball him.
$30 million is not a lowball.
I know, they came around. Did you hear Boomer Esiason?
No.
Former Bengal.
Yeah.
Going to be honored this year in the Bengal Ring of Honor. Boomer, very big honor. He and a bunch of other, former stars.
Is he not going?
He's going, but he's paying his own freight.
No.
Bengals are not paying flight or hotel.
No.
To bring their own superstar heroes back to Cincinnati to honor
that
them.
That is cheap.
You wonder
that
why the Bengals...
That is cheap.
I'm telling you, the best coach in football might be this guy with the Bengals. What's Zach Taylor. Yeah. I mean, he's up against it every year with this crappy ownership there.
Yeah, that is... That's bad. That's crazy.
These are NFL owners with $80 billion.
So you're going to say, hey, we're going to honor you at our stadium. We want you to come. But hey,
can you find your way over?
You're going to have to pay your way.
And we'll help you. There's a Days Inn down the street that I think is $49.95.
We'll give you a Skyline Chili gift card.
Joe Mixon will miss the first four games for the Texans. Keep in mind that when you go to your fantasy draft this week.
That's
or whenever.
Actually huge news for
it's pretty
fantasy
big.
People.
Yeah, Mixon's a big-time running back for the Texans. This is good news for Nick Chubb, though. Remember the old Brown? He's now
he's
a Texan.
Texans, yeah.
So he'll probably get a little time at the beginning of the year.
Did you see the breaking news?
Which one?
Kenny Pickett has been traded.
By the Steelers.
By the Browns.
Oh, by the Browns.
To the Raiders.
Ah, well, Super Bowl.
Well, what does that mean for Shedeur Sanders?
Well, you got Shedeur, you got Gabriel, and you got Flacco. They're the last three standing, right?
Yeah, they're not going to... They're going to carry three quarters. You have to carry three.
Well, they're going to be those three.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Flacco starts. Shedeur's going to get a chance this year.
He will.
So let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
I mean, until I see somebody, you never know. Nobody thought Jaden Daniels would be... This.
Yeah. That's
right?
True. No one thought Brock Purdy would
playing.
Be this.
Well, I don't want to go there, but Brock Purdy is pretty good considering he's the last guy picked.
Yeah, that's true.
Say he's had a pretty good run at it.
He was not expected to be anything.
No. Terry McLaurin ends his holdout, or hold in, as it were. He and the Commanders have reached agreement, so put him back on your draft board. Isn't this funny? I'm saying this as in fantasy football draft. Nobody cares about the actual teams. Just care about your team in fantasy. All right, that's pretty much some of the head football news. We got another segment, right, Scrabe?
Yeah,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, we did some research in the break.
Which research are you referring to,
Mr. Tatis?
Yeah, let's finish with that today. Might as well get everybody in a complete up in arms one way or the other.
I don't think so, because we're bringing actual numbers.
We're going to bring the numbers. You decide. Is Fernando Tatis Jr., has he been all that this year? I think there's many who love him more than ever. And there are many who kind of miss the old Fernando. We'll talk after traffic.
Fire, and Fernando sends it in the air to deep right center field. Scott is back into the gap, looking up. This one, going to go into the Cardinal bullpen. 17th home run of the season for Fernando. He's 2-for-2 on the night, and the Padres make a loud noise to begin the third inning. It's 7-3.
Oh, Jesse Agler on the call, and I bet he wishes he could make that call again. It has been now more than a month, Scrabe, if you can believe it.
I can't.
That home run came on July 24th in St. Louis. Today is August 25th. I'm sure you're aware, so... 1 month and 1 day, 27 games, 131 plate appearances, without a home run for Fernando Tatis Jr. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Seattle, where the Padres and Mariners will get together here in a little bit. Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace studio. So the question is with Fernando. We heard Tony talk about it earlier. He's been great, Tony feels. He's not the only one who feels that. He's getting on base. He's doing what leadoff hitters do. He's stealing some bases. He's scoring a lot of runs. He's fourth in all of Major League Baseball with 90 runs scored. He's got an 802 OPS. I'm sorry. Let me go back. He's got a 373 on base, which is easily the highest of his career. He's been making pitchers work, you know, not swinging at as many of those outside curveballs in the dirt. A lot of people like it. And then there are other side, which is, yeah, but he's Fernando. Fernando used to be feared when he came to the plate. You used to start thinking about Fernando four hitters away. Like, how are we going to get around him? But I don't know that anybody fears a guy that hasn't homered in 131 plate appearances. He's 0 for August in home runs.
I think the thing is...
So yeah, I'm not sure where to go come down on this. I really am not. He's playing defense as good as anybody in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we just accept this is Fernando now.
I think for what he's being asked to do, and I know that they want him to hit home runs and all of that, but for what he's being asked to do, he's doing a good job. He's getting on base at the highest clip of his career. Yeah. The walks.
Yeah.
Apparently, Luis Arise is walking him, you know.
Yeah, right. Arise, the reason he's walking, according to the Arise haters, is that Arise is, you know, they're pitching around him because Arise is so bad.
But when you say he's fourth in runs scored in baseball, tells me he's doing his job.
That's a big deal. He's also 12th in on-base percentage, which is really good. But all of that comes at the expense of this. He is 82nd best in baseball in slugging percentage. He is 54th in OPS. His OPS is 66 points lower than his career. His slugging is 84 points lower. He's got 4 home runs since Memorial Day.
That is crazy.
That's crazy. So... I'm just bringing this all up. Again, I'm not quite sure. I mean, I have an opinion on it. I kind of miss the old Fernando.
Don't get me wrong. I love the old Fernando,
I'd love
too.
To see the, you know, I'd love to see him keep all of the parts of the new Fernando and then return to the old here now and again. You know, I keep waiting for him to smack a 3-run homer, turn a game around. Anyway, I think, like you said, I think the Padres are pleased with it. I wonder... This is my own thinking. I wonder if the front office is pleased with it. He doesn't get paid like a leadoff hitter who walks.
Well, then the front office needs to come down and tell them yeah. that he needs to be a cleanup hitter. He needs to do something else. Because this is what he's doing.
I know what he's doing, but again, you're saying that he's being a good leadoff hitter in the Ricky Henderson sense of the word. But then this day and age, leadoff hitters are Schwarber and Ohtani and Judge and... You know, people who hit 40, 50 home runs.
What would you?
It's a different world in that regard.
If he's not going to hit home runs, I guess I'm fine with it because solo shots are.
If he's not going to hit home runs, this is probably where he should bat because he's leading off, he's getting on base, he's making things happen, he's scoring runs.
I do think that pitchers like to fear him.
You do?
I think that they fear him because they know that he can connect with a pitch. I don't think any pitcher's like, you know what? I'm going to get him out easy.
I'll say this, and then everybody can, you know, write me tweets later and say, you're an idiot. I haven't even seen him hit a deep fly ball in a month. I really haven't. I've seen some doubles down the line, you know, things like that. I haven't really seen him punish the baseball. Just hit it hard.
It's just kind of been weird. Let me go look at his StatCast numbers to see.
Oh, I bet you they love him.
No, his towers down, things like that. Let's see.
All of those numbers
swing
love
speed.
Him. After all, in WAR, he's 8th best in all of baseball. And we discussed this. He's far superior to Manny in WAR.
All right. So,
despite the fact that anybody can see that Manny has been the better and more productive player this year.
We got to throw out the 2020 season.
Okay.
His highest exit velocity average in his career is 93.9.
Okay.
This year, he's only at 93, so he's not,
yeah,
he's not losing.
That's pretty negligible.
Let's see.
What was the one Kevin Acey statistic that was
in the meatballs?
Story? The meatballs, where he hit 8-something OPS last year and a 400 OPS this year, something like that.
I'm going to need a little
that
bit.
That seemed to be, I don't know what that one was. It was something like that. That seemed to be troubling to me.
His meatball swings are the...
There we go, meatball swing. Is that a is that next to BAPIP now, meatball swings?
It's next to whiff percent.
Okay, meatball swings.
Meatball swing percent. He swings at meatballs 88% of the time this year. In 2023, he swung at 93%.
I can't believe you even know where to find all this stuff.
Well, I do like the stat,
Cass. I'll say you and everybody else is crazier than I am out there. I like to let the eye test tell me some of it, and my eye test tells me Fernando doesn't hit the ball with the same authority that he used to.
Here's where it kind of changes a little bit. His bat speed is way down from last year.
Interesting.
His bat speed is the 76th percentile this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, he was the 86th percentile.
Right.
Last year, his hard hit percentage, meaning he hits the ball over 95, I believe.
Right.
It was 99th percentile, so one of the best in the league. And this year, he's only 92nd. Which doesn't change too much.
The 92nd still makes him a tremendous player.
This is another big thing.
Right?
His barrel percent. Here, I think, is where the conversation goes.
Okay.
Not punishing the mistakes. Because his barrel percentage last year, meaning he hits it on the barrel, 92nd percentile around the league. This year, he's the 64th percentile. So he's not connecting with the baseball as well as he has in the past. That's a big number. That
okay.
tells me.
Well,
it tells me that he's missing.
It tells analytic people something. You know, the argument that, you know, the PED suspension has changed Fernando, I think carries a lot of weight because he was crushing the ball at the beginning of this season. But that Fernando is no longer. And like I said, some people don't want that one back. Some people want to stay with this one and get the most out of this one.
Here's another thing, which is weird, because his walks are up, but his chase percent is 75th percentile. Last year, his chase percent was 50th percentile. So
you're throwing too much stuff
at me now. Basically, what I'm looking at is that he's just missing mistakes. And we've said this before, but that's what it is.
When's he going to start hitting them?
I don't know. I would love for him to start hitting. You think I would love to see the setter step around third every five games. That would be awesome.
I hope he remembers to do it. If you know, it's been a while.
You think he remembers how to run the bases after a home run?
If he has to stop at second base and ask the third base coach, what do I do again when I get down there?
I do also
that'd be a bad sign.
I do also think that it's weird that he's struggled with his swing so much this year. And Tony's told us a couple times that it's his front foot. Like, he picks it up too early, picks it up too late. He doesn't have any timing. It's very strange how things have went about this year. If he's not going to hit the ball, I'll take a walk. I'll get him on base.
I think the Fernando's almost the classic example of this whole, maybe bringing the whole show full circle. Trying to figure out, should we just be happy with what we have? Or should we be a little upset that we're not getting more? That's kind of where the whole day started.
Excuse me, sir, can I have some more?
The Padres are in first place. They're tied. They're doing great, but they lost yesterday. And Mike Schilt, you know, only knows what he's doing 70% of the time.
Someone asked when the last time Manny Machado hit a home run, but I believe it was recent.
It was more recent than 131
Fernando,
yeah, plate
appearances. It was not July 24th, I can tell you that. But I will go look for this because we have a couple seconds.
I'm sure people are out there going to, you know, they're probably going to twist what I say. And
he
say,
hit a
well,
home
I'm,
run last Wednesday against the Giants.
Okay. I'm sure people will twist what I'm saying to, you know, to create whatever narrative they want and say that I'm either A, ripping Fernando, or B, you know, I'm totally accepting of Fernando.
Well, let me just say this. You're not, because we had the talk during the break and we were going over all the different reasons that he could be the Fernando that we see this year. And so we went to the stats. If everybody wants stats, we'll bring you stats. But the eye test tells me he's a different player too, Chris. I can't say the eye test is scientific because it's not. But it tells me that he's not the same guy we have seen. And he was that guy this year already. Where did that guy go?
I can also say that the science that people use isn't always the, you know, convince me anyway.
Oh, you don't believe in science now?
Right.
Right. You heard it here first. Chris Ello does not believe in science.
Before we go, a couple of quick things. Congratulations to your guy, Tommy Fleetwood. Wins the first tournament of his life.
PGA Tour tournament.
PGA Tour. He had finished in the top five something like 100 times. Not 100, but like 37 times.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
He'd never won, and he won the FedEx Cup. So
good for him.
I was pretty excited for Tommy Fleetwood. Congrats also to Chinese Taipei.
Oh, yeah.
They get the Little League World Series, otherwise known as Taiwan. They used to win the World Series every year. When I was coming through the ranks. This is their first winning in 29 years, though. But they have won a lot of them.
Wow, I didn't realize
back
there was
in the day.
Many. I didn't realize there was that many.
Been a while. So there's some of that. Sam Levitt, pregame. Padres, Mariners.
Fernando will hit a home run tonight.
I hope Mike Schilt manages the perfect game tonight so we don't have to even say anything.
We could have done without that.